Elizabeth and the Prince of Spain, Elizabeth I Trilogy. Written by Margaret Irwin and read by Carol Boyd.
Prelude. The Boy. 1541. My father has fought bulls single-handed in the arena, said the boy. He is brave as a lion. He has never been defeated. He is the conqueror of the world. How could he be conquered by a pirate fleet of heathen Moors? The East is Europe's worst danger, said a dry voice in dusty answer. It was, but my grandfather drove all the Moors out of Spain after they'd ruled and ravaged here for 700 years, and he was not half as great a man as my father. No, but his wife was, the tutor muttered, all but sniggered, and covered it with a hasty cough, his precise tone at once correct again. My prince, it is not the heathen who have conquered the Holy Roman Emperor, the invincible Emperor. It is the winds and the waves of the sea. Listen to the storm raging even now against this tower. He stooped eagerly forward, his sharp nose peaked against the light, his black-sleeved arms swooped to draw back the heavy curtain, and in a dramatic gesture pushed aside a wooden shutter. Outside the small panes of glass, a jagged landscape leapt into shape against a frantic sky. Those were not the Guadarrama range that Prince Philip knew, but the mountains of hell. "Look at the lightning," insisted the tutor, a stiff man, but now curiously gloating, as many a peaceable man will do in a scene of violence in which he need take no part. Hear the rain flailing down on the stones of the courtyard far below. These are the enemy who conquered the Emperor Charles V at Algiers, smashed his great ships to splinters against the rocks, blew his tents away like dandelion clocks on the seashore. Something chilled his enjoyment in his descriptive powers. He turned from the window and saw his prince looking at him. Philip said coldly, "The storms show the wrath of heaven. It is God who directs the winds and waves. He spoke and his enemies were scattered. Do you tell me that God fought for the Moors against the Emperor, my father?" Another flash, a long rending crash, tore across the sky as he spoke. "This is blasphemy," said the boy. "God himself denies it." Dr. Cilicio hastily snapped the shutter to again and pulled the curtain over it, shutting out the enormous scene from the stuffy, glittering little room. Candle flames in the draught, which even glass, wood, and tapestry could not suppress, winked against the silver figure writhing on the crucifix, flickered over the livid blood-pink and blue in a Flemish picture. "Certainly," said Dr. Cilicio severely, "it is blasphemy for your highness to deny victory to your illustrious father. That is exactly what I was explaining. You must write and tell him that you understand his defeat was caused by no human agency. It was by the command not of God, but of the devil." As so often, Philip felt himself rebuked, without quite knowing why. "I will write," he said heavily. Yes, he must write yet again. Pen, paper, and ink. More and more paper, more and more ink. Yet another pen. He was always doing it. "He fights and I write," Philip muttered. It was all he could do while his father fought battles, risked his life in them. "Emperors don't get killed in battle," Charles V had often scoffed to those who tried to restrain him. But he had very nearly disproved it this time. His wretched troops had been mown down in a surprise attack in the drenching night. Some had broken and fled. The whole army might well have been totally destroyed if the Emperor had not seized his sword and rushed into the front ranks, rallying them by his courage alone to drive their attackers back into Algiers.